Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to America Matters Radio with Brian Hirsch and the fixer Bill Elmore. Tonight's episode, we're going to be discussing what Elon's planning with Benjamin Netanyahu and Starlink and a few more other topics. I would like to welcome Bill and our infinite source, Angel Eva, to the show this evening. Good evening, guys.
Good evening, gentlemen.
If you would like to call in and chat with us, you can call 319-527-6092 to listen and just press 1 and raise your hand if you want to talk with us. Now on to tonight's subject. What do you think Elon's planning, Bill?
Well, he definitely threw a lot of people for a loop, right? They were he made a tweet the other day that they said made him anti-Semite, and then he gets on a plane and goes to Israel.
And,
I was very impressed. I listened to he did a Spaces last night on his experience over there, and he was really blown away with he had family members showing videos of their kids and watch videos of what happened on October 7th, and he capitulated and said he would follow the direction of their communications director for allowing access to Starlink, which is nothing different than when he went into Ukraine and he gave Ukraine Starlink and blocked out Russia.
Very true. Very true.
And then he also committed to helping rebuild Gaza after the war. And he shared his thoughts. I'm gonna post his audio file from that probably after the show or maybe during the show. But I was very impressed with what he had to say.
I was wondering if he was talking to BB about hostage negotiation.
That would be good. I don't know what leverage he has on that, but it would be great if anybody would have more than Biden.
To be honest, I think the only leverage, nobody has any leverage on Hamas because these people are willing to die. They don't care. To them, they're getting 72 virgins when they go to heaven. Then again, it might be a 72-year-old virgin.
Yeah, they're holding off on the Americans because, Israel's the small Satan. We're the big Satan. And
that's because the only reason they're holding off on America right now is because they know we are armed.
Yeah. But they're not fearful of Biden and his administration. They're going to
–
they know
by any means. They're more afraid of the American public than they are the administration.
Yeah, they'll ask for prisoner releases and all sorts of stuff from America, and I think they're holding their biggest chip for last.
We'll see. That's kind of like a conveyor belt. I think that's why they ask for the certain prisoners that they do because their leaders are getting killed. So it's like a conveyor belt. They got to replace the ones that are getting killed.
True.
There's always one to replace another one.
I go back to, I don't know if I said it on here or I said it on one of the spaces, that I think Netanyahu's plan is you can have as many as you want, going to kill them all anyhow.
That's what I
vowed to wipe them out, So, yeah, you feed them and board them for the next couple months.
I look at Hamas the way a cancer doctor would look at cancer. What do you got to do with cancer? You have to cut it out totally.
All
will come back and it will spread.
Yeah. And again, Elon talks about that and he's pretty blunt about it. They must be eliminated.
Yeah.
So he definitely, if he didn't have it going over, he got religion on the way back.
That's for sure. What do you think about it, Eva?
Does it not concern you that Netanyahu is a Zionist? You know, I always have to throw the monkey wrench into the mix. So
well,
sorry about that,
monkey.
Guys. you know, that's what I'm worried about. And then having one of the, I don't know, is Elon actually the wealthiest man in the world? Hooking up with BB. That is a concern of mine.
Well, I'm thinking if they're steered by the proper people in the proper directions, they can be very useful. No?
Okay.
It's time for us to use their tactics against them because ours damn sure ain't working.
Yeah, but him being a Zionist, I mean, that should cause concern for everybody. And,
I look at every one of these world leaders and I have cause for concern.
Oh, well, there should be cause for concern, especially, I don't even want to call him a world leader, Pito Quid Pro Joe, because he's not a leader. He's
might as well
just,
call Obama the leader.
And Obama spelt it out. It's there on tape that...
he said on tape what he would do if he had a third term.
Yeah, I'd be in my basement, wink, wink. And,
right.
Well, it just so happens... Pito Quid Pro Joe was in his basement. And
voila.
It just, so many people do not listen to what is being said. And that's a big concern of mine also.
No, not listen to what's being said, they don't listen to how it's being said either.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And it just saddens me. And how many times have I said it? You know, people will share a meme a million times over, but if it comes to actual reading something, then it's pretty much null and void. And
for sure.
I'm dumbfounded.
Let's see what one of our callers thinks.
Okay.
208, would you like to talk?
I keep trying to call to listen.
We need to make your voices heard. This is why we're here.
Okay. Well, what are we talking about other than Pito Joe?
Who isn't?
That's true. That's
the
true.
The
Did you hear about the rumor, I guess I'll call it, because I don't know that there's any real reporting, but the rumor that the American hostage that was released, the little girl, is actually a relative of one of the people that is in Biden's team?
Yes, we have heard that. We were just discussing that pre-show. That.
Oh, were you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
We did
so,
find that kind
I mean,
of interesting. I did see a report. I think I have a post of it on my X profile, but I don't remember where I put how long ago it was. I think it was sometime this afternoon. But Bill has more information on this.
Well, it actually goes deeper. So Hunter Biden, she's a customer of Hunter Biden's art, which then she miraculously got a cushy job working for Joe Biden. And, as far as the little girl, I mean, her parents were killed on October 7th, and she was taken. That's a tragedy. But this lady is an aunt or... is related. So it would be a huge coincidence if the only American released just happens to be a relative of somebody who works for Joe who bought Hunter's art. So, very interesting.
Yeah. And
well, keep us down the rabbit hole we go.
What's your take on it, caller?
Oh,
if it is true, what's your take on it?
Well, I don't begrudge the little girl. Definitely, we want her out of Hamas's hands. So, yes, I'm glad she was released, and I'll never say any different. But the fact that they're ignoring all the other American hostages really pisses me off.
I do believe there's still 10 left.
Do we know how many now? I don't even know that I've heard.
I think 13 Americans total.
Okay.
And I think there are 10 left.
But, I mean, this is the way he does it with everything. I mean, he brought home Gaines or Grimes or whatever her name was, but left that military guy over in Russia. And
this guy knows a million different ways of pay to play.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it just makes me I'm not upset that the little girl got released. I'm glad she got released. But he doesn't seem to care about anybody who's not giving his son money or giving him money.
Mm-hmm.
And if that little girl's aunt had the in, you know, with Biden, she would still be there, I think.
Very true. I consider it lucky that it saved her life.
Yeah. But
so,
Lord knows
sword.
What they did to her. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
well,
I'm happy
remember,
for her.
She witnessed her mother and father being butchered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's going to have to live with that for the rest of her life.
But there's a lot of kids. I mean, there's Israeli kids who had the same thing, that watched their mothers be raped and their parents be tortured before they were killed. I mean, it's just awful. And people want to give them a break. And I don't get that.
it just sounds evil.
It is evil. It is evil.
Period. There's no other way you can explain it.
And I heard you earlier talking. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I heard you earlier talking about tactics, that our tactics weren't working and that it seems like they're always winning. Is that kind of... I just came on when that was being said. Did I get that right?
Well, I think we were talking about just strength through or peace through strength, right? That we're talking about the fact that Hamas does not fear Joe Biden's administration, and they can hold out and use the Americans as the biggest leverage. They consider, America being the great Satan, and they know that they can, they're not, you know, nothing bad's going to happen to them if they hold the hostages longer, and they can then leverage that for us releasing, you know, some of their hostages or our prisoners, Hamas prisoners, and more, you know, give us a pallets of cash and blah, blah, blah that Joe's been, you know, willing to do.
Did I not just hear that Joe Biden okayed a $100 million relief package, but to Gaza?
It doesn't surprise me. I didn't hear it, but
are
you know,
kidding
he'll
me?
Say it's humanitarian relief, right? And it's for the Palestinian
Everybody
people.
Knows what Hamas does with those relief packages.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, he's just, I hearken back to again Iran and the hostages under Jimmy Carter, and then when Reagan's people reached out because the writing was on the wall, Reagan was going to win. And they reached out and said, you have until Reagan takes the oath and then we're going to rain fire down on your asses if those hostages are not released. And when they saw he was elected, they made it happen because they were afraid. They considered him a wild, you know, out of control cowboy. You know, they feared him. And just having that fear gives us respect and gives us strength. But they, nobody fears Joe Biden and the administration.
No. And
like
I believe, yeah, I believe that they actually took hostages on purpose, obviously, but I think that's their main strategy because we all value human life more than they do. And they know that Biden's going to pay. Whether it was $100,000 for that one little girl or if it's another million for another couple people released or whatever, they know we're going to pay.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
okay,
the big guy probably
we're
going to
put you on hold for just a second so you can listen and take another caller if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Fantastic. All right, Kate, you are on the line. You there, Kate?
Hi. I had myself on mute, and I forgot to unmute myself. Sorry.
What's on your mind?
With the money aid, I think the U.S. is going to end up using the plausible deniability BS because they're going to be giving it to them for the humanitarian stuff, but they're going to use it for other stuff. Like, we all know that, but they're going to use the plausible deniability because they're going to be like, well, we gave them the money for humanitarian issues. We didn't know that they were going to use it for this other stuff.
Well, you got to remember how these liberals work. For them, it's all identity politics. They do this to make themselves look good.
Yeah.
But yet, they're giving
exactly.
food and water to the enemy, actually, right now.
Yeah.
No different than what Joe Biden did to Afghanistan with $85 billion in tech and hardware.
No, and now they're using that against us and Israel.
There have been Hamas fighters found with American M4 assault rifles. There's only one place that comes
I remember
from.
Seeing a block of C4 from 2007. It was dated 2007 on it in the picture.
I looked at videos and I was looking at American anti-tank mines.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
But
they got pretty much almost everything that we have.
Just not as much
of brand new.
And they don't learn. They don't learn from their history, right? Obama paid off Iran, and they think they're buying respect. Right, or friendship or whatever they think they're buying. And they
loyalty.
You know, they look at it as weakness and foolishness. And
yeah.
then they're just going to ask for more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's all they're ever going to want.
They'll take
whatever
you're going to give.
Always want more.
Yep.
They suck it up until there's nothing left and then they move on like leftists.
Yeah.
Were we talking about this last night, Brian? We have the technology and we have the skills and we've done it in other wars where we sent in the Navy SEALs, we sent in the Delta Force, and it's undercover, dark of night. We know where they are. We could go in and we can get them out. But you have to have the will to do that because the risk is somebody gets caught on the ground and what, you know, America has boots on the ground. This is a war, you know.
Well, that's the key.
You know, and the message has to be, I really don't care. You have Americans and you touch an American, we're going to touch you, right? And
that should be the only thing that matters to this administration.
Our people. We're not in this war. We're just going in. We're getting our people and we're getting out. And then you guys can do what you need to do afterwards. But this administration does not have the will to make those decisions.
It never will either.
All right,
Kate, we're going to have to take the next caller.
Okay.
And that next caller is Julie. Come on in, Julie. How you doing? Welcome to the house.
Hi, guys. Nice to join you. I just have a couple of questions that relate to sort of what we've been talking about, which is the feckless kind of policies of the Biden administration, and particularly when it comes to foreign policy. What do you think they define as success? I mean, very obviously, we want our people to come home and to come home safely. And I agree with you completely, Bill, that we have the technology to go in and get them. And for whatever reason, we seem to lack the will. I feel like our position towards Iran has been one of appeasement, and we do so by just giving them bucket loads of cash so that they can fund their proxies to commit more terrorist acts to harm our servicemen in that region, service people in that region. And you know, I listened to Netanyahu and Musk talk today very briefly on X, and they laid out a pretty clear vision of what success is. And it was kind of like, we need to eradicate Hamas, and we need to get rid of the propaganda that seems to be sufficient to radicalize people, to make the average Palestinian prone to the same kind of hatred and violence that Hamas very specifically is. And so when they were talking about this, I kept thinking, what has Biden signaled to the world is our policy? I mean, aside from appeasing Iran and throwing money at the problem, what have they done?
I think his biggest concern is staying in power, right?
Yep.
So
exactly.
He saw a backlash by supporting Israel. You know, he came out strong supporting Israel, and then he saw a backlash, there are many protests. I watched the protests, you know. He was vacationing in Nantucket.
Yep.
And these are his people, right? These are people who voted for him, booing him as he's walking down the street. And it's purely because of his support for Israel. And
weren't they yelling,
so
we want Trump?
I don't know that they said that in the videos I watched, but they were just boo, genocide, you know. But it's all about Israel and Hamas, and their, you know, they code word, you know, Palestine.
I think Joe Biden's policies is all about how much money you can put in Joe Biden's pocket.
Right. Nobody's paying me to get these hostages out. Nobody's paying, you know, how am I going to make any money? It's hurting me politically, right?
Exactly.
And so I think his scope is very narrow. They've always had bad foreign policy. It's always appeasement, and you know, and their priorities are climate change and this and that, and why do we have to deal with this thing over here in the Middle East, you know.
Israel is one of our allies. I don't want boots on the ground over there. We got enough to worry about here with our open southern borders.
Yeah, I'm not talking about boots.
I'm not above helping them with armament or anything like that, just like they would with the Ukraine.
Right. I'm talking about the hostages specifically, right? Again,
yep.
I have no problem with there being enough boots on the ground to go get those hostages.
Send in Delta Force or SEAL team.
Yeah, we have the skill to do it. We know where they are. We could do it.
Most definitely.
But you have to have a leader who's willing to, that has the will, who's willing to make the decision. And Democrats have got, I was on with Colonel Manis today on Spaces. And, you know, he talked about working in the Carter administration and said, you know, what was happening during that time, you know, with the Iran hostages is, you know, Carter's prioritization was penny pinching his own administration. You know, he talked about they had those pins, you know, these pins for, they're just special pins people would wear. And he wanted a count of all of those to make sure people weren't taking him home to give him to their friends and family. He was focused on reusing, paper. You know, the backside's still white. Turn around, cut it, and reuse it. You know, during the hostage situation, he was personally micromanaging those types of things, right, and not concerned about, you know, global issues. You see Obama sending crates of cash to Iran.
When George Bush Jr. went into Iraq, I believe it was, when they finally killed Uday and Qusay Hussein, I seen like four or five different reports that they confiscated three tractor trailer full of cash. And that money has just disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, it's extraordinary the rate at which the government can lose money. And you try to tell the IRS that you
yeah,
lost a couple hundred grand to see what happens.
Ooh, she should be a Canadian.
It's pretty despicable. But the other side of it is, you know, the Biden administration consistently signals weakness. And as you guys have been saying, it emboldens our enemies. But also, it feels to me like, in a sense, this is a continuation of the Obama kind of reversal of the containment idea, which is, as a policy, if you know that there's hate brewing, you're going to put resources in to protect it from spreading. You kind of want to contain, you know, at one point it was, you know, the Russian communist fervor, or in this case, obviously. Yeah, so, and it feels like Obama, you know, with that $400 million pallet that got sent over in secret, sort of began this policy of not only changing how the U.S. would interact with Iran, but also the extent to which we're willing to participate in squelching their proxies. It feels to me like I agree with Bill that there is a larger disinterest to it. And it's striking because there are American citizens being held now for, what, 47-plus days, and he's done nothing. And, you know, to have a four-year-old child returned is a beautiful and a wonderful thing. I just compare that to I read I am so grateful she's home. I don't want any child, any person of any persuasion to be abused. But, you know, the Thai government managed to negotiate getting 10 of their citizens back.
Go
Thailand. So when we compare that to the sort of the might, the power, the force, the negotiation sort of, power, what have we done?
I've seen Joe Biden talk. I don't want him talking for no hostages.
I don't think Joe Biden can order breakfast. I think that much of everything about him is scripted. But the point is the same. It just is absolutely crazy that the U.S. is not 100% behind getting our people back. I don't understand it.
I mean, look at how fast President Reagan went for the hostages in Iran.
Yes. And also
he was sending a message before he was elected. He was sending messages. I'm coming for you.
You also have to remember that there was public outcry too, that we demanded our hostages back. And what are we doing now? We're just sitting there on our lackadaisical butts doing nothing.
True.
Yeah.
It's true, Eva. I mean, but part of that is that there is now competition in the media for who's getting coverage. And there's such an interest in covering this pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas movement as though somehow it represents a greater good. You know, Elon Musk made a really important point today. You know, when Netanyahu was sort of describing these Hamas warriors as being barbaric and kind of subhuman, you know, Musk came back with, well, you know, people have said that Israelis have also killed innocent people. and that in some way he was implying this is a parity, that this is fair. And he said, but then there is this important distinction. The Israelis have gone out of their way to prevent innocent people from dying, whereas these Hamas people went with every intention
of
inflicting maximum pain, inflicting psychological torture. So I
look at how long
felt,
Israel gave them to get out of Gaza.
Yep.
Well, in October 7th, though, and this is what really impacted, it seems to be what impacted Elon the most, right? He saw the videos of what happened on October 7th, and he said, to see somebody's glee in killing innocent people, children, women, you know, old people, and they were happy about it, and they were calling home to their mothers and fathers to brag about it. He said, that's just evil, and that's got to be eliminated. And that's, you can't compare collateral damage when you're doing everything you can to not, like you said, Julie, take innocent lives, but it's collateral damage. You're not targeting those people. And when it happens, you're not jumping up for joy that you did it.
Right.
It's an entirely different mindset that's, you know, that's drilled into their heads from youth. And I liked what Elon's a smart cookie, man. I liked how he talked about World War One and our strategy post-war. In World War One, we go in, we conquer, and, you know, post-war, we punish. And he said, and then, you know, wars would pop up again almost immediately. World War Two, we figured it out. You know, after we dropped bombs on Japan, we went back in and rebuilt Japan. After we destroyed Germany, we went back and rebuilt Germany. And we've had a long-lasting peace with those countries ever since. So that's the strategy. And, like you said, Julian, I agree wholeheartedly. They have a very defined, we're going to go in, we're going to save hostages, we're going to eliminate Hamas, we're going to rebuild Gaza, right? And that is the best strategy for having any sort of peace afterwards. The gray area in there is it's very hard to find the line between Hamas and radicalized Palestinians, and
exactly
how many Palestinians want to kill and, you know, want the elimination of Israel as their one state you know, policy. And it's difficult, right? But it's you have to look at the intent, and the intent on October 27th was just pure evil.
There's no doubt. And it was to, I think, to scar the national psyche of Israel for some time. And I think that that's why, but the other part that I think is really important is the whole issue of propaganda. When they were kind of laying out their vision for how they're going to defeat this evil, this Hamas movement, they talked about eradicating Hamas. They talked about then having to do something about stopping the spread of the hate, and they specifically referred to propaganda. And I thought that was very interesting in the context of Elon's trip, right? He's been accused of being anti-Semitic. I think he's a stand-up guy who went to sort of face the criticism and to demonstrate his, and I believe it's genuine care to some extent. And you know, when you think about his free speech platform and the way in which IBM, Apple, Disney, other companies have now used this anti-Semitism, quote-unquote, to remove their advertising. So they're trying to hit him in the pocket. And I felt like those companies actually represent globalist interests who are more than happy to have an excuse to try to shut Elon down. But when you think about the allegation that he was anti-Semitic, do you think that his going to Israel was like contrition? Do you think it was an effort to recover media sort of image? Or do you think it was a genuine effort to explore what he can do as a businessman to help?
I think it was a combination.
I think you have to look at his history and his, you know, his actions. And he tweeted after going there, right? Actions
yep.
speak louder than words, right? And he did very similar for Ukraine. You know, he gave them Starlink, and that was a changing factor and a big advantage for Ukraine. You know,
yep.
you think what you want about the Ukraine war, but he went in and he made sure that they had unhackable, you know, broadband internet to be able to fight that war. And he's doing the same thing for Israel. What can I do? And he's taking it a step further and saying, when you get to the rebuild, he committed to Netanyahu. I can't say that man's name. I don't know why.
It's
it doesn't
a tongue
roll
twister.
Off my tongue. But
we have somebody on the air that I would like to get her opinion.
Okay, good.
Miss Sophia, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys? Thank you for allowing
me. Good evening,
me
young lady. Sorry you were on hold for so
good
long.
Good evening. Oh, no, not a problem. Hi, everyone. Hi, Ava. And I hear there's another speaker. I'm not familiar with your name, but hello to you as well.
Hi, Sophia. My name is Julie.
Hi, Julie. It's refreshing to hear everyone speak and you know, sit on the outside of it because I'm in communications. I've done public relations for at least 12 years, but I've always been a frontline communicator, and that's one of the things that was always a strong suit for me. Like, I was a storyteller when I was younger, public speaking in like fourth grade. It's always been something that I've done, and, you know, taking psychology courses to recognize, you know, facial cues and body language and how that relates to communication. I pretty much have a life position with the knowledge that I have, as opposed to going to actual college for communications. I went for business administration because I had the communications piece down. And there's a lot of things that are different with the approaches that we're seeing now, especially because we have a more hands-on reach with social media platforms, whereas if you miss the news, or if you miss the, you know, the radio news, you have to get your perspective, you know, from the newspaper. But now you could just, you know, Elon popped on this morning when I was on X, and I was like, this is interesting. And I've been always one that has scrutinized Elon's purchase of X, and I was his biggest fan in the beginning. And I won't say that I'm not, but now it's just more of an analytical thing with me just, you know, analyzing everything that's happening, the different things that he's done, and how it applies to the principles that I've, you know, learned in communication. And it makes it difficult. I can say the one thing that is for sure is, as an America first person, that the way that I perceive this, it can't be viewed as war. Growing up from the 70s and seeing the different wars that I've seen in my lifetime, and studying wars of the past, there was always an offense and a defense. Right now, we've seen an attack. We've seen a response to that attack, but there isn't any more reports of an ongoing conflict outside of the hostage situation. So in the past, we've heard, you know, people at weddings, all of a sudden there's a bomb that goes off. And, you know, people, you know, living their normal lives, and there's a bomb that goes off in the street. There, you know, and then there's always some kind of video. Like, once they were able to, like, take pictures and record things, we've seen more. There's a problem with where I look at them talking about Hamas. There's actually a Hamas leader. That leader has a name. And, you know, it's funny because my husband said to me, when it was Palestine, who do you think of? And I was like, Yasser. When you think of, you know, Saddam Hussein, you could say that. You could say Osama bin Laden. But the way that it's being communicated is to look at it as a group, that Hamas has, you know, it's just a group, and they've done what they've done, and this is how we're approaching it. I started to go behind it, and I started to say, well, there has to be a cause to the effect. You just don't. Is this something that has been part of what's been enduring for years, especially after what Trump managed to achieve in his last year in office? What would there have been that would have spurred any kind of, you know, this whole thing? Where did this start? And luckily, through X and different people talking, someone was like, you have to look up the Alakazi storm. I don't know if any of you guys did, you know anything about the Alakazi storm, and this is something where it ties into an ownership of a biblical reference with regard to the Temple of Solomon. This is the type of thing that's not on a level that most people would even fathom. But there were certain events that took place earlier in the year that when you correlate it to biblical scripture, which is essentially what this is one person says we're the chosen ones, another person says we're the chosen ones, and they've just been in conflict. Earlier this year, I think back in April, there was a farmer in Texas that the birthing, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the birthing of the perfect red heifer with regard to a biblical reference, that when the red heifer was born, it allows for them to sacrifice it and clean the people that, you know, can't enter temples because of handling bodies or whatever, whatever. But it was something that's significant, that is supposed to be the spark that ignites certain events that take place after that would have led exactly to this conflict. Like there's when there's people, and actually, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Yes, ma'am.
The 700, yeah, the 700 Club. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They actually, I love it because they always do a correlation between, today's events and the Bible, and, you know, I'm a Christian, and, I'm a believer.
That's one of
the
main reasons
God.
I watch.
Okay, perfect. Then did you see the broadcast roughly around 2 weeks ago where Netanyahu quoted Daniel? I believe it was Daniel 13. I'm not absolutely sure, but he quoted the Bible in the referencing to his attack. And then I went back and I read the entire chapter, and I was like, okay, well, there's a lot of details that are left out. But what happened in the Alakazi Temple, which is a temple mount, you know, it was decided that the Muslims would have a mosque there, but it's purported to be the location site of Abraham when he was tested by God. So it's one of the holiest sites on the planet, and the Muslims have that. And then based on biblical tests, I won't say, but apparently, when the end of days are to be, coming, that there would be the birth of the perfect red heifer, the sacrifice, and before Yom Kippur, and then before Yom Kippur, that there would be a ceremony or a ritual that has to be done at that site. This, and I can share it. It was Al Jazeera, and then it was a French newspaper that also, reported on this. But I'd say the Jewish people, because they were of Jewish faith, they needed to do their ritual.
Gaza is only 85 miles away from the Valley of Megiddo.
Good grief. There's a lot that's coming on then. Like, I'm going to give all of that to you. I'm going to give so much of it to you because the way that this is working out, these priests, they went in, not priests, but they went in and did their ritual. They forced the Muslims out of the mosque. Because they had to. Like, it's like they just had to do it because they had the sacrifice. They did it. They burnt it and whatever. But apparently the Hamas leader saw that as a prompting to the reconstruction of Solomon's temple. And this war, it's based in Revelation. Like I said, biblical reference. It's going to go down. So when I look at whether or not I can say, okay, Hamas is brutal, okay, the response is a little bit much, I don't have a pony in this race because I have to just sit back and wait to see where this goes. But everything with the way that, I listened to it this morning, and Netanyahu is very, very specific with the way that he needs for Americans to relate to the conflict that is there. The journalists were invited out, 100 journalists, and they got to watch this video that apparently Elon had the privilege of watching today. When I was in the 70s, we would see something. We would see something. We wouldn't just have to take a journalist's word for it. We wouldn't have to just take Elon Musk's word for it. We were able to discern for ourselves based on, objective footage, objective news coverage, and that is not where we are right now. We are not in a society, at least in America, where an objective thought, it's just not happening. They're going to tell you how to think.
I don't think that's anywhere anymore.
Exactly. It's hard to even believe it, but with the trucker thing last year, Trudeau just could not tell them how to think. He could not tell them how to respond to COVID. And that, you know, right now there's still people that won't get vaccinated. I'm unvaccinated. I've had COVID like 3 times and I'm well, and I'm diabetic and I have all of those comorbidities that said I should be dead.
I've had it one time. I've got like serious pre-existing conditions.
Oh,
I took vitamin D3 and I had it, I got rid of it in 4 days and I've never gotten it again.
Yes. And for me, it was about a week. I've gotten it again because I have kids that go to school and my husband works in different homes. I took elderberry and just slept, mm-hmm. but the first time was ridiculous. But with all of the discernment that we have right now, everyone is telling us what we, this is what's happening. This is what we're telling you. There's videos and everything else, but we haven't heard the Osama bin Laden. He kept sending out videotapes. You know, it wasn't a cell phone recording. It was a videotape, and he would send it to the person who needed to get it, and that person would upload it, and it would be
yep.
on the 6 o'clock news. We don't have that. I would like to know why we don't have that, and it's available. So for Elon, he can see it. For the 100 journalists, they can see it. But now we're being told to take their word for it, and I am skeptical of everything that, you know, J6 tapes being released, you know, the way that they twisted us to, you know, not us, but the populace to remotely think that George Floyd didn't die a victim of his own circumstance. I question everything, and the piece of information that I just was like, okay, so why did they do it? And when you start looking, you're like, oh, well, these red heifers happen. The response that Israel is doing right now is exactly what they're supposed to do. That's
yes,
the one thing that is undeniable. Undeniable, because in order for them to move forward with whatever biblical reference to their people requires for you to have to flatten Gaza. You have to. Like, it's one, and it's prophecy. The prophecy is that it would get flattened. And then they'll be able to build their temple. And then they'll be able to wait for
their
Messiah.
Look at everything that is involved around in this war with Hamas right now. They're fighting in
exactly.
the north, in Syria. There's part of Revelations right there, the fall of Damascus.
Yes. So I'm looking and I'm watching all of this, and I
everywhere
was like,
everywhere
you know,
look, if you know where to look, you see the sign.
Especially with the youth.
Sophia, that specific video is raw footage compiled from all the videos that they collected on October 7th. And I don't know any platform where it can actually be shared. It wouldn't be.
Yeah, I think those are
so
only
graphic.
Private.
It's so graphic. Now, they've offered it up, and they offered it up to Congress, and some people in Congress watched it, and some chose not to. But it's and I've heard, you know, grown men saying they just got sick, you know, watching it. So
but
it's not some secret thing.
If you don't mind
thing,
for me
just,
to interject, we're a society now that isn't the society that we were before Kennedy's assassination. I looked and saw the Kennedy, you know, they showed the assassination video, and I never saw the bullet hole hit his head. And it was like he was, you know, YouTube, there's different places, there's dark web, there's video games. And although those are just depictions, they're not actual footage, we actually have people that are riding, taking cars and knocking retired police officers to their death. There's a lot of carnage that we have been desensitized to, that if you showed me a video of someone getting beheaded, I am not going to be so jarred, because I've seen a lot.
Some of the things that I heard that were in those videos, I mean, I've seen some pretty horrific things.
Even the raping.
I've
had friends that served in Desert Storm, and those friends, you know, they had a lot of freedom, and they would speak candidly about the things that they did, and these were Americans. And
almost
I would sit
definitely.
There, it was a horror show hearing them say it, but they were desensitized. They actually had the helmets. I don't know if they still do. that was playing specific music to encourage them to go into battle, and they would have the music that, you know, sends them in, and they would just, like, kill vicariously in order to complete their mission. I've spoken with people that were, you know, in previous wars, veterans, and some of them have, and I've actually said that, you know, I thank you for your service, because you've had to endure and you've had to see things that probably go against your moral fiber for country. And I appreciate that. And they would start crying.
And they teach them how to go to war to kill, but they do not teach them how to come home and live.
Exactly. And I'm getting ready to start crying. I did it last night. I won't do it today, Ava. I'll keep the tears up. But the things that they say that we cannot handle seeing, that is so horrific. I've seen Mortal Kombat do things, and I know it's not real, but we're just desensitized enough that if they showed – I saw a video. Now, my daughter's an artist. I have a daughter that's an artist, and they started showing the footage of different blood scenes where there were just cribs and everything else. And she can tell the difference between how blood dries and within the amount of time that it dries, because they taught you in school. It was like – this is what blood looks like with a splatter. Exactly. And she was like, Mom, a lot of this looks like theater blood. And I was like, well, you know, I don't want to believe that. Oh, yeah. And she was like, so she's 22. She's not buying anything because, you know, she's 22. She's desensitized because, you know, their generation, Gen Z, you know, some have survived school shootings. Some have survived gang shootings in the streets where they're holding their siblings bleeding to death. There's been so much violence that they've seen in, like I said, video games. Call of Duty is one of the largest ones ever. That when it blends over into reality, there is no sense of moral compass. Because if you can sit there and be arguing with an elderly man on the bus and push him out the back door till he falls and cracks his skull to his death, Simon Atiba uploaded a video where a man was getting robbed in a gas station. And he held onto his wallet a little too tight, and the guy shot him in his head. These are visuals that are making it out that are not being censored. Now, we can't even get into the sex thing, because then they show the transgender people stuff with the there's so much that we've seen that I can't – oh, my goodness. Like, the horror is when they're like, oh, I have to dilate my you know, manufactured vagina, and this is what it looks like. The darkness of where my children – yeah,
visuals.
That is disgusting. I'm sorry. But I guess I'm going a little bit too far deep in that concept, that if they wanted to let us see something, I don't want to take someone else's word for it, but I have to. I have no choice. Just like with COVID, we were supposed to take their word for it. We had to. They were telling us, and many people lost their jobs because they said they had no choice.
I wasn't taking anybody's word for that.
I'm right there with you, Sophia. I'm right there
with you.
I mean, it is hard for me to watch something unless I'm actually there and I see it with my own two eyes. I have my doubts.
Yeah.
And I always
because we have so much propaganda that is being spoon-fed to us, and it is ridiculous. But I fully understand what you are saying, and I just came across. I'm going to back up here a minute. I just came across a video that of the doctors who were attendants when JFK was shot, and they said that there was no way that he was shot from behind. He was shot in front, so had to have been somebody in the motorcade that shot him.
There's a video.
No, it didn't come from the motorcade. Katie came from the bridge in front.
If you look at
Kennedy, John F. Kennedy was killed by a combination of the CIA, the mafia, and the U.S. government.
Because he was looking into and
meddling with their businesses in Cuba.
I know
Have
it wasn't one lonely gunman.
Anybody that shot a gun like that knows. If you watch the Zapruder film, if you watch the direction he travels, The first shot, I believe, Oswald got off, and that was the shot that went through his neck and into the senator in the front seat. That head shot
There's
was from
video.
The front. It
oh,
pushed
yeah.
him backwards and blew
bullet.
The top of his head off.
I'll send the video to you, Brian.
And it's important to even look at that because I've never seen it. I didn't need to see it. But I'm just scrolling through X, seeing Jackie O climb out of the convertible onto the back of the car.
Yeah.
He was dead. Like, it was his head blew open.
Oh,
and
that
I've
was,
never
he
seen
was
that
going
before.
On impact with that shot.
And my husband was like, that's a large bullet. Like, that's a large caliber bullet to be able to blow a hole. Like, that's a hunting bullet. Seeing that today, I wasn't horrified. My concern was more so how real it was. And seeing Jackie O risk her life running to the, climbing out and going to the back of the car to avoid getting shot. And I'm like, girls, they're going to shoot you in the seat. They're going to shoot you back there, too.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I remember that agent that was running up to the back of the car. He said that Jackie was grabbing a piece of Jack's skull that flew off and landed on the trunk.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
I think Sophia's point about being desensitized because we are bombarded with images is really important, because I do think that the moral compass that we wish for younger people to acquire as a part of being citizens in this country includes the idea that gratuitous torture and barbarism is absolutely out of bounds. That once you cross that bridge, you have really given up all of your rights. And yeah. I think one of the things that concerns me the most when you think about the barrage of information that we're all exposed to in this age of the internet and whatnot is that a lot of it is censored. So that, which is exactly the point I think you guys are in part making, that you don't know what's credible. But you do know for sure that what you're being shown has an angle. And I think it's really concerning. I think it's part of it's one of the challenges that we as America First people have. You know, how do we get our message out uncensored? And that kind of gets right back to the whole Musk issue and the issue of propaganda.
And he's keen with it too, like Elon. He's made some, like the WEF CEO is still a problem for me. It contradicts
Amen.
Everything. The lawful and awful, lawful but awful, the meeting with Rupert Murdoch earlier in the year, the fact that, you know, Ukraine asked for Starlink help and he said, no, you know, it will put us, you know, in line with something that Starlink isn't about, but he's doing it for Israel. And when you listen to Elon, when he speaks on topics that are, you know, germane to what he does, he never stutters. But when he gets into different things, he starts stuttering and he has difficulty putting his words carefully together in order to present a convincing argument. And he was stuttering a lot today, and I was like, I don't think he's under any pressure. I think he's making a decision that he feels is what is necessary. But any regret to have, you have to let that go. You're going to just have to say, well, I agree with Netanyahu, who said the collateral damage is not to be waited. You got to do what you got to do. And I have to say that, you know, you got to do what you have to do. And people are like, but they're killing babies. And I'm like, they're killing babies and abortions out here all the time. I'm desensitized.
But and also...
Well, right?
The Israelis have continued to make efforts to create safe corridors for Gazans to leave. I saw some really horrific videos right after the 7th, and Lara Logan was, in fact, posting a bunch of them that kept getting deleted. One of them was Gazans trying to leave. They were showing, you know, these sort of well-dressed people trying to get out of the war zone, and Hamas was walking them up to a pit, shooting them in the head, and dumping their bodies in. So part of it is that the Hamas leadership that sits in Qatari hotels knows very well how to play the American media against the Americans. they're telling us who to have sympathy for. And I agree so much, Sophia, with the fact that this is a really long history, you know, and a heartfelt history on all sides. But it just seems to me that Hamas is a terrorist organization, has American citizens, did engage in absolute barbarism. What I saw really made me sick. I got to the point where I just could not watch any more videos and preferred to read the accounts because it's, you know, I guess I may not be as desensitized, but I found it incredibly gruesome. And the fact that this is not coupled with complete outrage from our leadership really concerns me. It is something I think that is fueling a lot of this indoctrinated pro-Hamas college campus behavior, you know, the abuse of Israeli students, the abuse of Israeli teachers. I mean, I am literally gobsmacked that this is being tolerated.
Well, it shouldn't surprise you too much since we have a squad that is in Congress that actually supports these monsters.
Supports them financially and otherwise. And the funniest part is Rashida Tlaib is actually an American-born Muslim. Her parents moved to Michigan. She was born in the U.S., and so is she not then a radicalized terrorist? You know, isn't this what we're talking about?
Seems
the homegrown
like a domestic terrorist.
Exactly. The label that they toss around so frequently that it loses all meaning should be appropriate. I'm sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Like president?
Yeah. Yep. Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so I want to correct one thing you said. Elon did, he initially gave Starlink to Ukraine. And then at some point said, I'm stopping it, right? So he changed his direction on that one. So initially...
Yeah, he backpedaled and denied it, too. He denied the way that the media had explained it. Like they took something out of context with regard to that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he cleared that up. But it caused for him to just withdraw. Whatever plan and thing that he was going to do, he just withdrew out of it because he said that if it was going to be dragged into the conflict, that he couldn't have it be so. But when you think today, Elon said he wants to help. I want to help whatever I can do. Mind you, this is a businessman, you know, that is, you know, not born in America, you know, born in South Africa, raised in Canada for a bit. Now he's American. His positioning is a bit much for me, whereas Biden, Netanyahu spoke with him on X today, but we didn't get to see the conversation with Netanyahu and Biden. Like, why didn't the news have that kind of leverage to show us everything as they show us what they want us to see? So the fact
they
that
don't...
It couldn't have been a very intelligent conversation, first of all.
Exactly. And they don't want people to see that weakness. They don't
want
people to see...
How do you have a conversation with an Etch-a-Sketch?
Or a mashed potato, if you will.
Every
Absolutely.
Time he shakes his head, he goes blank.
That disturbing that they... that it, and that's what, like I said, when I said America First is starting to make me agitated... Well, I'm always agitated, but it made me more agitated because they don't want us to see it.
I think America First does want us to see it. I think that the prevailing sort of media bias is held by those who are really more interested in globalism, who are really more interested in pushing this DEI sort of hateful education. I think that most MAGA, American First people, are all about everybody having all of the information. I mean, maybe that's a bit naive, but
I think that's one of the reasons we need to push a lot of these grassroots candidates.
Yes.
But did
we
you
need
know
to get
the
them in office and get these lower-level Democrat liberal candidates out that are changing our laws and using them against us.
That, you know, I've just found out that my local school had in the library for fourth, fifth, and sixth graders a bunch of incredibly pornographic books that the librarian took it upon herself to display right in the front of the library. And it's going to be very – I live in Massachusetts, right? So it's incredibly liberal. But at some point you assume common sense is going to prevail. I do not understand anybody who thinks it's appropriate to sexualize a fourth grader. I just – you know, but your point to
the
fact that
you get mad because you can't talk to a fourth or fifth grader or three or four-year-old about any kind of sex, you don't deserve to be within 500 yards of them. In fact, you should be on a registry.
I agree with you completely, Brian.
It's evil. It's evil. It's not just politics. That is, to me, a spiritual issue.
I am going to interrupt here for a sec, guys. We have a caller that has been on hold for 24 minutes.
Oh, boy.
I would love to get that perspective. 208, you are on the line.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
Good. I just had, I want to say this nicely because that's the way I mean it, but... I understand that we all want to see the data. We want to see what happened. We want to make our own decisions. And I get that. And we don't trust anybody that the information comes through their hands anymore because we've been lied to so much. And I get that. But I think the people of Israel and the victims have a right to some privacy. And I don't think that Israel should publish any of those videos. They're gruesome. We don't need any more gruesome in our lives. We need to get more pure, not less pure. And I think it's not fair to the victims to have them victimized again because, okay, and maybe this is just where my mind goes, but can you see all those people who really thought that was cool sexually pleasuring themselves to these videos? I just don't think it's right. I don't want to see them. I don't think anybody should see them.
I'm
think you have a valid point.
Yeah, I'm
it's
with you on
graphic.
This. We saw the concentration camp videos of the people coming out. You know, the Germans made videos of them torturing those people, and they never made that public to anybody.
And
if you look at the reaction, I think the stuttering you saw in Elon he was shook by what he saw. Even Anthony Blinken, right, another part of the feckless administration, right, and he was torn between, you know, Biden.
Yeah, I've seen the look on his
face. After he saw that video, I mean, he was white. You know, and he was hot under the collar when he was over there. He had a very strong position, and he got tempered down by the rest of the administration after he got back. But those videos are so, and again, I'm going to go back to my point. Technically, you can't even, you will get banned. Logan got his videos deleted, right? You can't.
Yep.
By the rules of the platform, you can't post snuff videos, right? You can't do that. And I definitely agree with the decency, the victimization of the people again. And it's either we believe what happened on October 7th happened, or we don't. And, you know, I don't have to see every person who got killed to believe that happened. We saw enough, and that it
there is
did
nothing
happen.
That I have seen since my time of watching people like Hamas and Al Qaeda and ISIS that will ever convince me they're trying to do the humanitarian thing.
Absolutely,
they're murderers. Period.
They're murderers,
I believe,
and they're
a bunch of innocent Israeli people on October 7th, and I believe
they
deserve to pay for it.
They make it very clear that they intend to keep this battle wage, you know, they intend to continue this in one form or another until they get rid of Israel. They have not wavered from that position, and that is a big part of their propaganda.
From the river to the sea.
Exactly. I mean, they're not, and sometimes I think we really do need to take people at their word. You know,
These guys, the great Satan.
If they could do this to the United States, they would in a heartbeat. They would in a heartbeat.
You need to take somebody at their word that's willing to strap a suicide vest on or make rockets from water pipes.
Yep. Yep.
These people want to kill you, period. Nothing more.
Well, and also I think that they really see life, given the philosophy that the goal is to get to your 72 virgins in heaven, life is just a waypoint. You know, you accomplish what you need to be a good Muslim, and then you're off to heaven, to your form of it. And
there's also that side goal is to convert or kill as many infidels as you can before that
happens. Exactly. Exactly. That the life mission is to spread the word and to annihilate those who disagree with you. I don't know that peace can be brokered there. I don't know that that's at all possible, which is why
Still sounds like Democrats to me.
But why Netanyahu was basically saying, and Musk agreed, you have to eradicate the terrorists. And I think this is the point that Bill made initially. How do you distinguish between who's truly a terrorist and who's a radicalized citizen who's been living with all of this hate and this indoctrination into this hate? I don't know how you do that.
It's going to come to a point where you won't be able to anymore.
Yeah, and that's where the collateral damage comes in, and that's
exactly. It's
just hideous. It's hideous to be. Yep, and although it seems so remote from us, I mean, I am still sort of struck by the number of people who are willing to get out in the streets and preach anti-Semitic hate. It astonishes me. I did not think I would ever see this in America.
To be honest, I think a lot of it's bought and paid for.
By Soros at all, you mean?
By a few organizations.
Yeah, I think there's a mixture of ignorance, just jumping on the bandwagon, to flat-out, you know, deception, you know, being paid to go out and do it, just like BLM and Antifa and January 6th. And then there's the true believers that we really got to get our eyes on and keep our eyes on, because you said, you know, what if it happened here? It's a real danger that it can happen.
Well,
here.
See, there are entirely too many trustees in modern chemistry and entirely too many mental patients out there right now. You spread this kind of dangerous propaganda and they are going to pick up on it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we, you know, as a culture, incentivize our media to stop participating in the propagandizing of our youth?
Do exactly
what
you're saying right here, young lady. Speaking our minds on our own terms.
Yeah, it
stop
won't
watching
happen.
Them.
The mainstream media is part of the problem. They are part of the globalization of the world. So they're just a bunch of they're actors.
I was telling Bill of a phrase that comes to mind by the name of a man by the name of Joseph Goebbels. He says, "If you give me control of the media, I will give you a nation of pigs."
Yep,
for sure, for sure.
And you know, the media today. You know, we used to have investigative journalists. You know, the Laura Loomers, you know, of the past,
yep.
Right? And they put, and it, you know, it always comes down to dollars, right? They put getting the scoop ahead of their political leanings, right? They cared about getting a story, getting it right, and getting it out. And all, you know, they then joined, you know, news organizations, and they had to report to an editor who would, you know, tell them what they can and can't do. And then all those news organizations got bought out by, you know, six plus corporations. And now what you see, whoever said it, they're actors. They're just pretty faces on the screen to read the script that was fed down from the top, you know, and,
yep.
And you can watch, there's all sorts of videos out there where you see, they're not only talking about the same topics every night. Nobody has the scoop anymore. They're reading the exact same words from national
yep.
news to local news. The
you know
exact
what I find funny,
same
though?
Script.
You know what I
What's
find
that?
Funny?
What's
people
that?
That call themselves investigative journalists and the people that call themselves news people these days actually now have the same reputations that lawyers have always had.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But not all lawyers are terrible. Like, you hate them till you need them, right?
Right. That is true. That is true.
No,
but,
not really.
But,
not in my book, anyway.
So the answer really is citizen journalism.
I've never had one do me any good.
The answer is citizen journalism, and that's everybody on the phone right now. Everybody
exactly.
who has an X account.
And I encourage
everybody
please do your own research from reputable sources and always
right.
have your work
right.
checked.
That's super
but
important.
We've got to get our voices
and,
out.
Yep, and I think that that's one of the things that Musk has really contributed to our culture, actually, since he bought X. I mean, he revealed Twitter. He revealed the censorship. He revealed the degree to which the federal government had been participating in absolutely dictating what was an acceptable narrative. And I think, you know, I've seen him make several posts over the last 6 weeks about citizen journalism and, you know, and sort of saying, please get into the conversation and participate. And I do have to say that I feel, although a lot of conservatives report being throttled pretty consistently, and that may be a departure between Iaccarino and Musk's style and goals, or maybe Musk is making it more palatable. But I think in any case, I'm grateful for the fact that he encourages people to participate and has created a platform where I think many people are comfortable doing that.
I look at his
well, then Mike,
acquisition
Mike.
Of Twitter as a kind of like when he first bought it, it was like a wild stallion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was posting. Everybody was pushing stuff out. But then he instituted his liberal CEO. That was like putting the reins in a saddle on a wild stallion.
Yep.
Well, then my question is, why is there still censorship? Why is he why
because
is
he has
censoring...
a liberal CEO.
Okay, but, okay, never mind. Never mind.
I think
well,
that they do this.
I truly believe there's still gremlins in the mix. You know,
oh, for
it,
sure.
Yep.
All right, and,
there has
and
to be.
there's still coding that has to be changed. You know, I used to get shadow banned once a week, no question about it. And for the last 10 months, I mean, I learned the right words not to use, the right, you know, I censor myself, unfortunately, not as much as you'd have to do if you're on YouTube, but and that wasn't because I was afraid of Elon Musk or even a human. It's encoded into the application. If this word is used, boom, you get it on the naughty list. If,
yep.
you know, there's a lot of rules you have to learn to not get shadow banned. And I used to be shadow banned all the time. It frustrated the hell out of me. Just like, you know, following people and, you know, you have to learn the rhythm of how many to follow, how fast, how many maxed out per day, which isn't a, you know, the biggest problem is just following people too fast. You know, you could get
Bill,
restricted for 3 days.
Bill,
and,
you're a tech
yes.
guy, man. I thought this stuff was supposed to make our lives simpler and easier.
Well, it is. And I actually took a call with the guy's 3,000 followers and follows 3,000 people. And he's like, how can I get a bigger reach? How can I get my voice out there? So we actually got on the phone together and I walking through some of those rules and get involved in some team rooms. But you have to, you got to follow these rules, right? So you're going to get shadow banned. You're going to get limited. You're going to get restricted. I learned that the hard way.
My point is, if he's all about free speech and he knows, he has to know that there is a problem with this.
Yep.
And we'll use Laura Logan as an example. You know, her getting deleted all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck, Elon? If you are Elon, if you're listening to the show, you can call in. The phone number is 319-527. Yeah. Never let a good crisis go to waste.
And if you're listening to the show, you'll see the show, hire me.
6092. Again, 319-527-1692. Please raise your hand by pressing 1, and we'll get you on the air immediately.
By infinite source
angel. Can I ask
another
question? Sure. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. speaking of individual journalism, have any of you heard much about what's going on with the Red Cross? Maybe I don't understand how it's supposed to work, but I thought they were supposed to visit the hostages and make sure they were okay. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, and that's a really good point. I've not heard of any international organizations or
I have heard Billy Graham's organization has been over there.
Samaritan's Purse.
Yes.
But I don't know. But they're a great organization, by the
way.
Fantastic. If you're ever looking to give a little bit, they're great. But, I have not heard of any report from anybody saying this is the condition of the hostages. And yesterday I actually heard a pretty smart person talking about this and was saying, you know what, we're naive for not insisting upon proof of life, which is a very grim way to look at it. But
no,
it kind
that's
of
100% correct.
But it's very sad to consider that, you know, that these people have been lost. But if you're negotiating for something, isn't that one of the things you would absolutely insist upon?
You would think.
Yep.
Common sense.
I mean, and then it gets back to the way that, you know, you guys began this conversation, which is, you know, the relationship of this child to one of Hunter's art buyers, you know. That seems extremely curious when you consider that there are 10 other people who we're not hearing anything about.
And like how Bill said, Thailand got, 10 people out?
Yes, Thailand got 10 people out, and that's extraordinary. That's a very
that's
small country.
I do have a, you know, I've seen this in Warren, right? We are hated. Israel is hated. They don't hate Thailand as much, right? So some of that could just be by the fact that we're not going to get anything from Thailand. They don't have any of our prisoners. You know, let those people go because we're feeding them and housing them. And right. So I've seen that in war. Right. If they don't have skin in the game and there's no hatred between the countries, they're going to be more favorable to that. So it's not so much that Thailand, and I'm assuming this, it's not so much that Thailand negotiated and did a good job of getting their prisoners out. They might have just been kicked out.
But by example, doesn't this just demonstrate kind of the weakness of our position? I mean, I understand that they have no skin in the game, but the other thing is that it is signaling to the rest of the world, we will thumb our nose at the Americans because they no longer have the power to make us move, and they forced Israel to negotiate with us, right? But we'll give 10 to the Thai people, not only because they have no skin in the game, but because the comparison of what we've achieved versus what Thailand has achieved is another propaganda win.
It definitely
right?
sends a message. It definitely sends a message. But and you know, you answered the question. It's they don't fear us. They don't respect us. And they know in the end, they'll be able to leverage us with
exactly.
the current administration.
Exactly.
Which is
so.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. You please go. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Which is another thing that you were talking about earlier about how we did with Japan and with Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference I'm seeing here, not only in the positioning of the countries involved, but in Germany and Japan, we brought them to their knees and they surrendered, right?
Yep.
And this country isn't surrendering. It's got more allies than it started out with. It's gotten more empowered by our actions and by the world's actions. And I'm not sure the same thing will work with them. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely it does. And I think it begs the larger question, which is, to what extent is this an effort by Obama to facilitate the strengthening of the Muslim world on American tax dollars? I'm not entirely convinced of that, but I think that there's considerable evidence that you have to think about. You know, so many of the foreign policy decisions have done nothing but empower Iran financially and in terms of the propaganda war and their proxies. How many U.S. servicemen have been, service members have been hurt since October 7th? It's several. Why are they not responding to that? Yeah.
In contrast, look at how Trump handled that, right? You
yes.
touch us, we touch you with an immediate response. And you take one of us, we're taking 10 of you, right? And when he...
mess around and find out.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, everybody said he was going to get us into a world war if we, you know, bomb Soleimani, and, you know, he just did it. Nothing.
Yep. We had a peace treaty signed.
They backed down, right, because they fear strength.
Right.
And then
absolutely.
Then he handed him the Abraham Accords and said, sign this, or this is what's going to happen.
Right, but also that
exactly.
was very good for the region. There was a sense of peace and a sense that peace might grow. I mean, I now question that conclusion given how hateful, you know, what has bubbled up.
I'm not even seeing anything that resembles peace in the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, do you guys think it's a calculated strategy, or do you think it's a bunch of blundering buffoons? Because if you look back at some of the decisions that Obama made, particularly to, like, reverse this containment strategy, it you have to wonder, given the results, if this wasn't part of the plan.
Well, I think it's a bunch of higher ups that are very, very smart and very, very rich, pointing the bumbling buffoons in the proper directions.
So what do the higher ups gain from creating this conflict?
Well, you have
the
downfall
of the United States. What do you think the person? What kind of power do you think the person will wield that brings the United States to its knees without firing a bullet?
That's a really good point. And, you know, obviously there are several nations that are trying to do that. China, certainly foremost among them.
Well, we got the BRICS coalition. Now they're trying to devalue the American dollar and stop it from being the main trading currency around the world.
Right. Right.
Well,
and the fact that they've even
This is straight out war. They are hitting us at every front. Short
and
of boots on the ground and guns being shot.
Well, and then you got to understand, or at least the way I look at it, is that everything Obama did, everything Clinton wanted to do, all of this is about destroying America, destroying its power, making her not a powerful country that can push everybody else around and make all the rules and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a bonus, right?
if I were sitting in Obama's shoes, this is just a bonus. This came up, and, hey, we're going to take advantage of it. But at the same time, they got this border open. They're bringing all these Muslims in, all these people that will fight for the other side. This is not over. We need to be watching Israel.
What I find funny is the Mexican drug cartels are patrolling our they have operational control. They have drones patrolling our open southern border.
Yep.
Right. But it's coming. I don't know if it's next month at Christmas, like they like to do it on holidays, or if it's next year, but it's coming.
I think it's coming this Christmas.
Yep.
I think that first sign was that New York-Canadian border crossing. I think that was actually meant for the Macy's Day Parade.
I read a report. Somebody had that conjecture the very day, Brian. And it was right after reading that, and, you know, again, is this misinformation? I don't know. It was never corroborated or followed up upon, but there was a report that an Iranian passport was found near the car.
Mm-hmm. I read that, too.
So I don't, but, you know, again, that's just been dropped, and we've moved on to the next news cycle.
Well, of course.
It's very difficult for a car to blow up, right, unless there's a...
I watched that video, Bill, from every angle I think they possibly put out, and there was no slowing of that car whatsoever.
But even then, the engine's in the front, the gas tank's in the back. There's not enough fuel in the front to blow up.
No.
So unless that gas tank went right through the front.
Right.
It's suspect. It's sketchy to me.
Very.
The weirdest thing is that it was a Bentley. It's a $300,000 car, and they're supposedly leaving a casino and headed to a Kiss concert. I mean, that it's hard to imagine that that's the car you'd choose if you were going to be a suicide bomber, right? But then there was
Gene
a possibility. What did you say?
I said, unless you're Gene Simmons and you're late for the concert.
Exactly. Get out of my way. Exactly. But I don't know. I think it's all very suspect. It could have been absolutely, Brian. Absolutely.
I mean, look at the Boston Bombers.
Yeah, the Tsarnaevs.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a very weird set of circumstances, but I do think that the reason we're all concerned is because we're rational, and there's no way you can consider that there have been over a million gotaways in addition to 140 known terrorists who are roaming around freely
unknown.
And are... Exactly. Of that a million gotaways, the people who were really invested in being surreptitious about their crossing, you know... I mean, what's the FBI doing right now? They're looking at...
They're looking at moms and dads in school board meetings.
And MAGA extremists.
Yeah, and they're still following people from January 6th. Even though 44,000 hours of damn tape come out proving it was all BS and set up.
Did you guys read the story that U.S. Marshals are not being used on planes at this time, that they're being used to follow J6 defendants and people... associated by phone or other matrices or whatever, but that's unbelievable. So
there are folks out there. He's an ex-military friend of mine, and he's very skilled. And every time he gets on the plane, he notifies the attendant and has her notify the captain and the co-pilot that if his services are needed, he's there.
That's wonderful. But you think about all of the other people who are assuming that their tax dollars and the air marshals are there to protect them en route when, in fact, they're being used as a part of a political hoax.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Anybody that thinks
for the last 3 years that their tax dollars have been actually used for what they said they're being used for?
That's true.
I've never met anybody that naive.
Don't you find that odd, though, that this is a big distraction? Well, I find it odd that this is a big distraction, and then you do have the air marshals, the FBI, the DOJ, what have you, going after J6ers, and it is totally, completely ridiculous. What is the priority? What should be the priority? And you have to bring all this into play on what is going on and use discernment. Because I don't believe everything that I hear. I have to research it myself and go back in the archives of my mind on how these wars were brought upon us and what was the end game. You have Operation Northwoods, Operation Paperclip. You know, there's so many doggone operations that you have to learn about in order to try and figure out what the government is planning next.
Mm-hmm.
And what wasn't you, Brian, that said that they are using, Hitler's playbook?
For sure. If you watch everything and every move the liberals made, or whatever they want to call themselves, I actually sat and I read Hitler's and Joseph Goebbels' book of propaganda tactics. Everything these people are doing is right out of that book, 101 textbook.
And it's basically the same thing. It's just a different day.
That's it.
Yeah.
They just upgraded it. That's all.
It's very intentional. So Obama made it legal for the government to push propaganda. And that's just
Patriot
went
Act.
Through. Like,
well,
why,
well,
like
actually,
that just went through.
Actually, that was before Obama, you know, with the Operation Mockingbird. And that was way back when.
Well, they started that
the
way,
late
they,
40s,
they,
early
50s. They started recording everything with Kennedy and on down to Watergate.
No, but he did something
yeah.
very specific.
He did in 2012. He did change the law as it was being currently employed. I realize, Eva, that it has a longer history. But in 2012, he essentially made it lawful again to use propaganda against American citizens, which is
yeah.
just,
well,
given what we're going through now, given the effect of censorship, given the weight of the effect of propaganda, especially on vulnerable youth, I mean, it just, I don't want to seem like a conspiracy theorist, but if you connect these dots, it seems that it's all been concerted, that this has all been a part of a plan.
You're not a conspiracy theorist. You're the shit just isn't adding up right, conspiracist.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Well, you start with that action, and then you got the mainstream media then. So you got the White House and the government pushing out propaganda. You got the mainstream media amplifying it and repeating it, and then you got big tech companies censoring and shutting down the opposition voices. So that cannot have happened by accident, right? None of that could have happened by accident. Yeah. It's right out of the book there.
That's so frightening. It's frightening because what you see in the streets with these crazy kids who are screaming anti-Semitic, the most hateful rhetoric, and I think most of them don't even really understand what they're saying, right? It shows you how effective that can be.
I was telling Bill about this yesterday or the day before. The last time I seen protests like that, they weren't. It was back in the 70s, watching ABC nightly news, watching Beirut.
Yep.
That's the first. That was the flashback I got.
I wouldn't even consider these protests. They are just. They are out of control animals.
Yeah.
100%.
And it is. It is crazy, you know, them coming over here to the United States, bringing their own flags, and no way, I mean, there should be no flags flown except for our flag in the United States, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Not at any of our Capitol buildings, anyway.
Yeah, and the other thing is...
I don't mind immigrants flying their flag. Do not fly it above the American flag.
Okay, well, that is illegal, okay? They are not supposed to be flown above the flag of the United States, period. And
well,
then
you have San Francisco when China came over, right?
Whenever
you had dignitaries coming over, you know, you would, you know, at best you would put American flag, China flag, American flag, China flag, American flag. The streets were just covered in the Chinese flag and no American flags. And that was absurd.
I know.
Well, I think that was Newsom's doing.
Newsom is Xi's newest asset. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a China baby.
Newsom, remember the Radley Lab? He has a lab in California that has been partially paid for by the Newsom administration that does COVID research in conjunction with China.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit.
This is what I'm saying. This guy is not a good human being. I mean, the French Laundry display, that kind of arrogance is not welcomed by anybody at any time, right? What's good for you is not the same rule that applies for me. But in addition, they just signed into law that 12 years old, if a child wants to have a gender reassignment or a sex change or whatever they want to paraphrase it as now, the parents don't need to know. I'm sorry. Are you kidding me? That is so straight up communist.
You touch my child without me knowing it, and I will never worry about present. You can believe that.
But think about it this way. What they're saying is that the parents are the conduit for the state's children. I mean,
exactly.
They're absolutely taking privacy out of that relationship. They're trying to invade it, and part of the reason is because they're arguing that children are the state's responsibility. That is straight-up communism.
100%.
I'm not a fan.
Well, I think that's why Eva calls it commie for me.
Well, is that, you know, that is, this is not the California I grew up in. And it is,
you know,
again,
Eva, when I was a kid, I used to watch all the movies with the girls in bikinis and everything. I was 12, 13 years old. Like, yeah, I went out to California. And then I grew up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Baywatch was one of those things that everybody idealized. And everybody idealizes the beautiful California weather. Parts of it are gorgeous, but, you know,
well,
the first time I went to L.A.
I've always been a movie nut, too, and always been into every facet of the movie industry, too.
Right.
But you get too deep, you start learning things you really don't want to know.
Yeah.
Which
yep.
is true.
Unfortunately.
So what were you saying, Julie?
I was just saying that the first time I went to L.A., I was gobsmacked by the amount of smog. You know, I was just like, wow. This is, and then when you see the Hollywood sign, I expected it to be in some, you know, set apart in some beautifully landscaped area. So the image of what it was wasn't matched all the time, but there are parts of it that were absolutely beautiful. So, I mean, it's a lovely state. I just think Newsom is a really corrupt individual from the Pelosi school, and I think he would be the worst thing to happen to this country. I mean, I think he would be worse than Kamala Harris.
Shift the edges,
which is a low bar.
Yeah. But yes, California was, because you did use past tense, and it is.
To be honest, I think Randall McCarthy took a few classes at that Pelosi school as well.
But kind of like driving through Las Vegas during the day. Las Vegas during the day is dirty, filthy, nasty. And but at night, it's all the glitz and glimmer.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty lights and shiny things.
But you are right. I mean, they are They are grooming him to be next president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. You know, oh, Biden's going to be running. You know, he's going to kick the bucket or something's going to happen.
The first time I seen him step out and run his mouth against Ron DeSantis, I knew that's what he was doing.
Absolutely.
But, Gavin Newsom is, he's a horrible, I'm right with you there, Julie. He is horrible. He is an incarnation of Satan. He's just an evil, evil, evil man.
He's very self-interested, and, you know, he made this specific statement. He made a point of saying after hosting his buddy Xi that, you know, he doesn't want to engage in any kind of isolationism, you know, which is really a way of saying we're going to continue to expose Americans to a dependence on Chinese supply lines in a way that we know gives them way too much geopolitical power and way too much cash. What's the point? So the idea that he is in any way concerned about Americans is crazy. Look at what he's done to California, you know? Beautiful cities, mm-hmm. absolutely trashed.
Oh, my gosh. You can't drive in L.A. without going down a street that has, except for in some neighborhoods, having homeless people. And it is so sad, especially in California. California has a resource of, oh gosh, like this was, I mean, many years ago when I did research on it, and it's called a rainy day fund. And mm-hmm. California has like $98 billion in this rainy day fund.
No,
so
Gavin Newsom
we are
does.
Not. We are pretty much, yeah. So we are not as broke as he wants to portray us to being. And it is just utterly sad. There is no reason on God's green earth for there to be a homeless problem in California.
Here's an idea.
Period. What's that?
Here's an idea. I just figured it out, how you get the homeless problem in the whole state of California cleaned up. All you do is you have Gavin take the Chinese consulate around a tour of the whole state.
It won't happen. It won't
clean
happen.
Up the whole
he only
state.
he only cleaned up key parts of California, and that
and
was
that's
for,
disgusting.
Yes,
yeah.
That
I used
was
to work
for,
in San Francisco. I used to work in San Francisco, and it was a beautiful, vibrant city. And,
very wealthy.
Yeah, Yeah, very wealthy, very, very gorgeous.
Now the industry.
Lots of tourism.
Oh, there are people. Well, rumor has it that they're going to build a city just right adjacent to San Francisco where there's not going to be a homeless problem. They are going to bring wealth
not a smart
back
city.
Into Well, I don't believe it's a smart city, but wealth back there, because I agree with Bill. I know that for a fact. I've been to San Francisco, and it used to be top-notch, beautiful, beautiful. And even Fisherman's Wharf, I mean, it was so gorgeous there, and then now it is. I just call it Poopy Pelosi's district. You know, we have people.
Oh, Maxine
well,
Waters,
yeah,
her district ain't much better.
Well, there was a video going around where this guy actually dropped his pants and went to the bathroom in like a drugstore of some kind, like a Save-On's, Thrifty's, or what have you. And it was right in Nancy Pelosi's district.
Oh, for sure.
You
I've
know,
seen so many videos of people just dropping trout and then dropping a deuce right there in Home Depot or Walmart. Really?
It's just disgusting, and it's also like a public health issue. But the other thing is, what happened to common decency? What happened to people looking
well,
down
the
street and
saying... Well, common
decency
went the way of common sense and the dodo bird.
I know, but honestly, it's offensive. Like, the idea that somehow Newsom's a liberal champion why aren't you taking care of the marginalized people in your state? Why is there a single homeless vet living in California? Why are you talking about reparations
for slavery in the past? Anywhere.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I want to know why there's a single homeless vet living anywhere
Absolutely.
When we're accepting millions and millions of illegal aliens in here and giving them free
Absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also read a statistic that something like 26 to 30% of military families are food insecure. That's just unacceptable. You can't ask people to dedicate their lives to this country and protecting our freedoms and allow them to be hungry. It's just an insane set of priorities, and I just wanted to make this other point. It drives me bananas. I bet you that rainy day fund is somehow related to his reparations. And I think that it's really disgusting to even talk about reparations for slavery in the past when that open border is facilitating it every day. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Kids are being
mm-hmm.
trafficked at that border every stinking day. Why, if you're going to virtue signal, why don't you actually do something that's going to make a difference? You
exactly.
know what I mean? Instead of, like, tossing money at the problem. Like, if you actually care about kids, if you actually care about the people who you created an incentive, a vacuum, come here, we will take care of you and pay for everything. So they take this perilous trip. Many of these kids by themselves, wholly unprotected, absolutely victimized. If you care about them, how do you lose 85 to 100,000 of them? It's,
they don't
it is
care.
Who says they lost them?
They're
and,
evil.
Well,
they don't care.
Yeah,
the hypocrisy
is pure
insane.
Evil. It's all part of the plan,
them?
Though. They want to keep rotating those kids to these pedophiles. And selling
child
them.
Trafficking is
and
the largest business in this world now.
Yeah,
it's
a perpetual motion. You know,
100,000 kids is nothing anymore.
It's
you're
just
right. Nothing.
Well, where are the? Sorry, where are the kids from Hawaii?
Exactly.
Maui.
Right.
There's
right.
Still over 800 kids
talk,
missing.
Under
and there
under,
are.
I heard that Oprah Winfrey had something to do with that. I did not check into it, but
it wouldn't surprise me since she's friends
heard.
With Harvey Weinstein.
Oh yeah, for
yep.
sure. He's a decent man. He's a good man. Oh, and he's so
cute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a real good guy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's
and I'm
just
the Pope,
crazy.
And
I mean,
don't even
I,
get me started on that guy.
There are so many sickos who have acquired so much money and power that they think themselves, impervious to prosecution, to scrutiny, to anything.
10-foot-tall
and
mm-hmm. bulletproof.
And if you're Epstein, you know, you just kill yourself. It's ridiculous,
careful,
right?
Yeah, or you're drinking, you know, champagne with Mossad in Israel. Here's a thought.
Right.
I don't think that he was killed.
Excuse me. I love living in the middle of Iowa just after harvest season.
What are you harvesting? What's just been harvested out there?
Well, I've lived here for 16 years now, and I am surrounded by corn and soybean fields. I never had an allergy in my life, and 15 years ago, I became allergic to corn and soybean dust.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Instead of becoming immune to it, you became allergic to it.
That's because I never really spent a whole lot of time around the corn and soybean fields. And I was mostly hay fields and stuff like that, baling hay and stuff like that for the Amish in Pennsylvania. Or down in Florida, and there ain't no cornfields or soybean fields in South Florida.
I can just imagine how huge.
He's just saying you got to get local honey, and over time you'll become immune to the pollen.
Oh, that's smart, Bill.
Yep.
That's a really good idea.
My entire life, I was an Air Force brat, and then I worked for IBM, and I moved every 2 years. So that's how I addressed it.
And now you see why I asked him to be the co-host.
You call him the fixer for a reason, Brian.
This is the fixer.
See,
exactly.
He fixed it.
I had a fix for everything.
That's wonderful. That's really, really good advice. It's really good advice.
I like
in fact,
the homeopathic
they say that
ways.
Yeah, I don't trust Big Pharma at all anymore. I used to be a person who, you know, my doctor tells me you need to take an antibiotic. Okay, yeah, sure, fine. I no longer, and particularly post-COVID, feel very confident in what is considered the predominant science. I just, you know, every study is paid for by somebody who's looking
well,
for an outcome.
Every drug is derived from a plant, and most of the plants for the common illnesses come from weeds that grow in your yard. I work in the FDA regulated environment.
The same bill worked for
really?
So,
we'll agenda.
If I get the sniffles, I'll be calling you, Bill, to ask which blade of grass and which kind of dandelion I should be eating.
Now I'll have an answer. I'll have an answer.
This is the thing.
Tea.
You're the fixer.
You need echinacea in the winter.
Yep.
Well, you can have the snow from here if you'd like.
You can have it from here, too.
We haven't had any
snow
yet.
Oh, I did.
I have a good friend that still lives down in Florida, and his wife has never seen snow. I said, young lady, I've seen it all my life. The only place I want to see it anymore is on a TV screen.
Right.
I mean, I grew
up
in Florida.
Bill, are you still in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I'm up in the Berkshires, and we had
snow. So did you guys get a little snow?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we got snow a couple days. But so I'm sometime mid-December, I'm going to be heading back down to Tennessee.
How's your brother doing, Bill?
I don't know. He has not called me in 5 days.
Uh-oh.
So, my sister's keeping an eye on him, so if he was bad, I would have heard.
Oh, I'm
just
sure.
Waiting for a call back.
Well, on that case, no news is good news, then.
Exactly.
Most definitely. We are down to our 3-minute mark for the evening.
Man, that went fast.
Yes, it did.
It sure did.
Every episode seems to go faster and faster.
Well, thank you for letting me talk.
Well, thank you for coming.
And what is your name? Do you mind if we ask your name?
I'm Sherry.
Who? Sherry.
Oh, this is Sherry.
Ah, okay. Hi, Sherry.
Now
so
you know
you'll be
not
on
to pick up next time.
No, you'll be on tomorrow night's show, correct? Yes.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
Wonderful.
Good deal.
And thank you, but I'll go now.
Bye, Sherry.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye, Sherry. You
have
a great
night,
evening, young lady.
Well, I enjoy talking with you guys tonight. Been a really fun and interesting conversation, and I'm looking forward to our next one.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Tomorrow night.
Okay,
we'll be on with you.
Yep. Well, I'll see you guys tomorrow night. It's funny how I'm saying I'll see you guys. I'll hear you tomorrow night.
You have a great evening.
Definitely LinkedIn.
Okay. Good night, you guys.
Good night. God bless.
Good night, Julie.
Bye-bye.
I thought that was Sherry, but Brian, you were lacking putting her name in the
I was
studio
waiting
there,
for it to pop
so
up. I just wanted to make sure. But now it's there. So
you weren't 100% either until I asked.
No, I wasn't.
It's all good. It's all good. And Miss Kate has been very, very silent there.
Yeah.
I like that she sits and listens. That's smart.
Yeah, that's what I do. I was listening the whole time.
Well, no, that was really good. I mean, nobody talked over each other. And
I tell you,
have
an informed,
nice,
intelligent discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Great show, Brian. Great show.
Well, I am going to call it a night for us. I'd like to thank everybody for joining American Matters Radio and Broadcasting tonight. With me, Brian Hirsch, and my co-host, Bill Elmore, and our infinite source, Angel Eva. Please join us for her show tomorrow evening. Eva, give us some info.
Tomorrow night is going to be a reboot show of Infinite Source Broadcast Network, and I'm going to bring in the whole crew and introduce everybody to one another, and because I think it's important that everybody gets to know each other. So be kind, humans. Have a blessed tomorrow.
Good night. God
have
bless.
A good night, everybody.